Hello, good afternoon. Please be seated. So I call the meeting 211 to order. And we have a packed meeting today, so let's begin with roll call.
Someone turned off the mic. I didn't. I'm going to acknowledge our senators who are on Zoom, and looks like most of them have politely put their microphones on mute, so just to make it easy for them. We have Sunny Rice, Julie Jolie, Bill Barnes, Rorick Peterson, and Sarah Hardy online, so I acknowledge that we see you. Abramovich.
Present.
Allman.
Here.
Barnes. Well, I'm sorry. He's up on Zoom. Bolton.
Here.
Bret Hart.
Here.
Carol.
Here.
Cassio. I was making the assumption Julie Jolly's online, but that's just checking it's not Julie Cassio.
No, it's Julie Jolly.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. Cherry. Clark.
Present.
Collins.
Here.
Cundiff.
Here.
Darrenfield.
Here.
DiStefano.
Here.
Farmer.
Here.
Gifford.
Here.
Hampton.
Here.
Hanks.
Here.
And Sarah Hardy's on Zoom. Harney.
Present.
Hartman.
Here.
Heaton.
Here.
Hornig. And Julie Jolly's on Zoom. Lawler.
Here.
Lou.
Here.
Lunn.
Here.
Mahoney.
Here.
Meyer.
Which one?
Jack Meyer.
It's on her way.
Okay. Thank you. Maxwell. Okay, Falk Whitman is here for David Maxwell. McCartney.
Here.
McDonald. Franz Meyer.
Here.
Misra.
Here.
Moser. Is anyone attending for Dennis? Newberry.
Here.
And then Rorick Peterson is on Zoom. Sunny Rice is on Zoom. Skaya. Tilbury.
Here.
Tuttle.
Here.
Weber.
Here.
Wildfear.
Here.
Yari. Anybody here for John? And acknowledging, we have Chris Kaufman, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, for United Academics. We have Katie Boylan.
Here.
For United Adjuncts. Mike Ernest couldn't be here today, so we have Holly Shiros. Is Faye here for staff council yet? She'll probably come in a bit later. For ASUF, Matthew Carrick is not here, but today we have Leslie Drumhiller. I look forward to hearing from her. Do we have anyone from athletics? Ah, Danny Shepherd is here. Our Dean Paul Lair.
Here.
And our Chancellor is here, Chancellor Powers, Provost Henricks. Do you know if Larry Hinsman will be here? Okay, we will not have Larry today. We have our Vice Provost Alex Fitz. All right.
Thank you, Jane. That was awesome. Now, the next one is approval of minutes of last meeting. So I would like to entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second. Thank you. Any objections? There's a lot of blabbering in the meeting. I'm sorry. So hearing none, let's adopt the agenda. The only change in the agenda will be we do not have a guest speaker today. We are going to delete that from the agenda. With that, may I entertain a motion to... Danny, you had something to say? No, okay. So with that, may I entertain a motion to adopt the agenda with the amendment?
Second.
All right. Any objections? None. Thank you. Okay, the status of Chancellor's office actions. You have the three motions that were approved by the Chancellor. Thank you, Chancellor Powers, for approving those. There is no pending motion as of today. I have 3 minutes to talk on provide my remarks, and Orion is keeping the time for me. Anyway, so a few things. I'll be as quick as possible. The first one is the GCC, the Governance Coordinating Committee meeting, which comprises, as you know, of faculty and students. We met on November 19th from UAF. I'm sorry, this is GCC of UAF. And the major item that we discussed, and amongst other things, is how to coordinate amongst the three groups, the governance groups. That's one thing. But the major thing was the public testimony to the BOR that was discussed. And the three groups felt that we need to really be active in our public testimony to the Board of Regents. And that helps because as Chancellor Powers has told before, it helps in guiding their thoughts towards what we bring as our testimony to the table. So basically there is a memo, and it has been, this was a graduate, the Governance Coordinating Committee memo. We just kind of drafted this as a guideline to what we expect faculty, staff, students to go and say during the public testimony, the meetings on Thursday and Friday. And I believe on Thursday it's from 9 to 10 is public testimony. And I don't remember what's on Friday, probably 10 to 11. It's an hour shift between the two. And there are some tips on the back of that sheet on what to say during public testimony. I would really encourage most of you to really go and make a presentation there or provide a testimony of what we anticipate as impact of this changes that we would expect due to the budget shortfall. You know, basically how do students get impacted by that is the important aspect there. Okay, so alliance meeting. The last alliance meeting was on November 20, and the major concern that was expressed was a BOR, a Board of Regents budget item on course redesign in UAF, UA, and UAS. The cost is $30,000 that was on the budget line. Most of the concerns that were expressed were the impact on academic freedom and course offerings. Okay. There were some concerns expressed about loss of faculty jobs also. I don't know what's the truth behind it, but there were concerns, and I'm just bringing it here. I have no personal opinion on this. Then the third one is about a Sunstar report that might be showing up this week. A student reporter from Sunstar has been questioning us about this new classification of the bucket list that is being implemented in spring 2016. Reiner and I have been privy to the draft print that is going up for publication. There are some student and staff concerns expressed in there, especially from Advising Center, about why the students have not been informed and how that would impact. Well, the publication will be there, and I would like you to read it and decide on what their concerns are, which I think mostly probably are some misunderstandings. That's my 3 minutes. Okay. Can I take one more minute? Okay. So Fark. We met. Fark is the faculty administrator review committee. We met on December 1. There are several Group A administrators that are being reviewed. We came up with common guidelines to progress the review and submit a timely report to their supervisors latest by April 10. Budget and Planning Committee, Orion did not want to continue, so Elizabeth Allman has stepped in. Thank you, Elizabeth. And I will be serving on this committee. And the first meeting is scheduled to be December 17. If everybody agrees, I have not heard back yet. There is an academic misconduct policy that is Provost Hendricks has requested us to look into, and Orion with the provost on December 3, and he might be able to allude on that more. I actually attended a public forum, and this is my last one, with Adam Ull and Click Bishop yesterday, from 2 to 4. And there were several concerns that were raised, and most importantly, people were talking about the reduction in programs in UAF and K through 12, and how would that impact them. And most of them were expressing that we are willing to pay an additional income tax, state income tax, just to keep these reduction from not happening. So that was something that I caught amongst the discussion, and I just wanted to bring that to you. I went on a personal basis, not as any representative, but I thought it's good to share what citizens or community are thinking about the UAF and the K through 12. Thank you. That's my report. Off to Orion.
So let's see. We have tried to shorten the reporting section to give more time for us to actually conduct Senate business. So I'm going to try and keep it really brief. One clarification: the Board of Regents requested $300,000 for course redesign for FY17, which it's a lot of money. I think there is potential to do some really interesting things there. The trick is going to be getting faculty buy-in on that, because if it sort of gets jammed down people's throats, that's not going to be successful. We do need a couple policy updates. One of them is our academic misconduct policy, stuff like cheating and plagiarism. At the moment, there's nothing written for instructors to rely on, saying, there's a pretty good blurb in the student code of conduct, but it's basically intended to address students. So I'm actually looking for volunteers to help draft a policy on that. It can be fairly short and to the point. A few examples of, if you get the same essay in multiple courses, how should an instructor respond to that? And really, we want some sort of university-wide tracking for that. So trying to keep us on time. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Four items: budget, timeline process, adding representation to the Chancellor's Cabinet with shared governance. Just a couple comments on the Board of Regents meeting and the engagement survey. Relative to the budget timeline, of course, the Board of Regents approved the budget in November 2015. President Johnson and the Governor's Office spent 3 hours early last week, discussing the budget and the need for contingency budgeting, as we had anticipated and are in the process of working on now. The governor will release his budget any day now. We haven't seen it yet, but we would expect to see it very shortly, possibly this week. Session, of course, runs January through April. By April, we'd like to be 80% complete with our budget, and then the final completion in June of 2016. Relative to the process, the provost and vice chancellors are working with their unit leaders to develop those budgets for FY17. They'll be submitted to the Planning and Budget Committee in January. Planning and Budget assesses those proposals, advances their recommendations to the Chancellor's Cabinet in March, and then we'll be making those decisions to be 80% complete in April and complete in June. Secondly, adding representation, we've talked about this, is something actually that Debu has championed right from the start, and that is to have faculty and staff and student representation on Chancellor's Cabinet. We'll begin that next Monday to begin a new process. As long as I'm here, I don't know what the next Chancellor will bring, but I do think it's a great idea, and especially as we struggle with some of these budget issues, and so I appreciate your advocacy for that, and it's a perfect example of the way, in my opinion, shared governance should work. Relative to the Board of Regents meeting, again, I don't want to be duplicative, but it is important to showcase the talent, the challenges, the programs you would like to advocate for, not to be shy. Please, if you do choose to testify, be very mindful of that 3 minutes, maybe even shoot for 2.5 minutes. Like any political lobbying, measured, thoughtful, factual, direct is the most important process presence that you can achieve as you get your points across. Wonderful things happening, obviously. Advising, I've mentioned in the past, I bumped into Sean McGee earlier this morning, Cam Carlson, some things going on with Homeland Security. People have to be aware of this, especially in light of what we've seen in Paris and the international connectivity immediately with this campus, with our students outside and protections we have. All of these things are very good. And the great example is Chief Schrage advocating for that fire station replacement, and frankly, the most conservative member of the Board of Regents proposed funding that. It's been almost a year now, and we're in a different fiscal climate, but this public testimony can have a great impact as you relay what's going on in your areas, or philosophically areas you would like to head. And then finally, the engagement survey. My understanding is those results are being finalized and rolled up now. We'll get them out this next week, might be early next week. And then we'll begin the action planning in early 2016. That can take obviously several months, and that's where you start to see changes as you put together plans to address any particular shortcomings of the survey. Any questions? If I don't get a chance to say it now, I wish everybody a great holiday season.
Thank you, Chancellor Powers. We have question time, and I think it takes a bit of time for questions to be framed in people's mind. So I'll move on to Provost Hendricks for her remarks.
Previous speakers have already mentioned the Planning and Budget Committee, but I'll add to that information a little bit. Planning and Budget Committee has been appointed, has a total of about 17 voting members, of which 5 are faculty. Debu mentioned that the Faculty Senate representatives will be Debu Misra and Elizabeth Allman. There are also 3 other faculty members that are joining the committee, Thane McGelkey from CTC, Rob Prince from CLA, Ping Wan from the School of Management. Other members of the committee are a mixture of staff and administrators. Planning and Budget Committee will have an organizational meeting in December, and then we'll begin work in earnest on evaluating and assessing and making recommendations to the core cabinet of the university about the budget plans that are going to be put forward by the vice chancellors. So the process is a little bit different this year. The Planning and Budget Committee will be looking at those plans developed by the vice chancellors, as opposed to trying to identify ways to reduce the budget among themselves, as was the case last year. We likely will also, though, have a process for broad suggestions on how the university can either reduce expenditures or increase revenues. We got a lot of useful ideas last year, but there may be some new ideas out there that haven't been looked at already, and we will be looking for those. The other thing I wanted to mention briefly is also in relation to some remarks that were made earlier about the course redesign budget request that went forward from the Board of Regents to the Governor's Office and thence to the legislature. That course redesign item, in my view, can be an opportunity. As far as anything that I have heard, the money will be allocated to the three universities and will be up to the three universities to develop a plan on how to use it effectively. I don't think that it has too great a chance of being funded by the legislature, but it's also possible that the president is placing this at such a high priority that he will want to have that funding allocated regardless. So think a little bit from your perspective about what you know in terms of national trends in how to help students learn in the best possible ways. And if this funding does become available, I think that we can make good use of it.
Thank you, Provost Hendricks. Okay, now it's question answer because we don't have interim vice chancellor. So Elizabeth, yeah.
I guess I'm just completely in the dark about what course redesign refers to.
Well, it actually refers to a variety of different things as defined by different people. But as it's being currently implemented by UAA, and I don't have all of the details, they did get a federal grant for this. It involves having a collaborative design for general education courses so that a number of people work on designing a particular general education course, and then that particular design is used by all individuals that are teaching the course, so that not each individual faculty member isn't designing a course from the ground up. But there are a number of different ways to implement that general approach. Their particular course redesign is for online delivery, might also expand to face-to-face delivery, might be handled differently so that individual faculty members could contribute part of a course and would continue to contribute part of a course, but there would be a background or a backbone of material that they would work from. In that way, it's not so very different from a department deciding what the learning outcomes of a class should be and having all of their instructors work toward those specific learning outcomes. So, as I say, course redesign can be a number of different things depending on how it's implemented and what the objectives are.
Yes, James.
When would the funds for the course redesign be showing up?
If such funds show up, they'd show up with the new fiscal year in FY17.
So we'll hear about it when
and if that happens.
Thank you.
But your point is that the Board of Regents might decide to tell us to go ahead and do it without funding us. Is that correct?
I believe it wouldn't be the Board of Regents so much as the President, who has expressed a lot of interest in this particular activity.
So basically, to address what Reiner said, you know, that this is exactly why we are discussing it in Alliance. As I said, I'm just reporting it. I don't have a personal concern about this course redesign, and let me be honest about that. In fact, I was being the devil's advocate in the Alliance meeting, but people have concern, and I thought, you know, to bring it up is best at this point because I probably don't know all the ground details. So thank you, Provost Hendricks, for explaining that. Any other questions for Chancellor? For me, for Orion? None. Okay. Thank you. And now it's public comment. So any comments from the public? Sina, yes.
Thank you. I guess this question is for the provost, but maybe for the chancellor. United Academic President Abel Beltito had a meeting apparently with President Johnson, and it's been announced that there's going to be expedited program reviews in January 2016. And I'm wondering what you know, what you can share about that. Thank you.
There was a fairly brief discussion of that at a statewide meeting last week. It's similar to what was done in the past year relative to program review of programs that the university may be considering eliminating. The difference is that because our budget challenges for FY17 are greater, the president expressed strong interest in having those reviews conducted more quickly than has been the case in the past. He offered some advice from general counsel and some other advice about how that might be carried out in a more expeditious way.
Any other public comments? Yes.
Make sure it's on. Candy Darenfeld with the Cooperative Extension. Just wanted to tag on to the UNAC comment and question this is a CBA negotiation year we have coming up again soon, and that I guess I would like to encourage all of my fellow faculty and Senate representatives to review the Blue Book and to review the current CBA, share it with your other faculty members, and to bring your comments, questions, you know, whatever it may be, to our UNAC president, perhaps even to our interim chancellor and to our provost regarding those. They do go together. Things that we've discussed in our current faculty senate meetings could impact those very definitely. So I just encourage you to take time to read those and to share those comments and suggestions.
Thank you. Yes, Elizabeth.
I know technically I'm a member and not the public, but pardon me.
We'll consider you public.
Okay, great. So the provost comments just made me realize I should ask what's happening with the plans that were due at the beginning of December for last year's special program reviews?
We're in the process of reviewing those, but that, due to the press of other business, probably won't be completed until the new year. So sometime in January, we'll feed back to the programs.
It's also expedited.
Well, we want to complete our review of them promptly, yes.
Any other questions or comments, I should say? Well, I have a quick comment as a public. I'm sorry. That the chancellor search, I actually forgot about it. We have so far 8 candidates that have applied, and I don't know anything about them yet. But we have January 15 as the deadline for the chancellor's candidates to apply. And I'll keep you posted as I know more. Okay, with that, we'll get into governance reports. Staff Council Faye is here. I just saw her walk in. There is a mic there. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for having me. Is that on?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, thank you. We had a few things in our meeting this morning. First off, we had a budget update and presentation from the Office of Management and Budget. And I brought a few of the extra budget 101 handouts, infographics in the back here, in case anyone wants to take one. And I think I would encourage you guys to get that update as well. It's, I think, very handy for a lot of the people we represent to get a bit better sense of what's actually involved and where we spend our money and where it comes from. And I say that also as someone who works in budget, so. Then we talked about the Planning and Budget Committee, the upcoming Board of Regents, and as I think Dibu mentioned as well, encouraging our people to testify and to share a little more in public comment and really make use of the fact that we have the Regents here in the ranks. We intend to encourage staff to focus their testimony on areas where we're impacting students, basically, where services may be reduced, where the budget reductions are directly impacting our ability to fulfill our mission. We also talked about some questions about furlough implementation, what that might look like, trying to get a little ahead of the game so that we're not surprised as things come out. And then, also employee engagement, kind of what's next with that, and then the tobacco-free implementation on December 31st. And then I also wanted to say a huge thank you to DEPU as well and to the Chancellor for their efforts in bringing governance to cabinet going forward. I think that's an incredible, incredible benefit to all of our groups. And I know DEPU did a ton of work on that we're all benefiting from. So, thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Faye. Next is ASUAF. We have Leslie Drumhiller. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you very much. My name is Leslie Drumhiller. I'm the Government Relations Director for ASUAF, and I would like to read a quick report. ASUAF student government is currently occupied with preparing students to lobby in front of the Alaska State Legislature and the Board of Regents. With the Alaska State Legislature, we plan to talk about the budget. Alaska's present fiscal crisis has profound implications for students both here at UAF and in future careers, and we must communicate the university's need for funding and support. Last week, we invited Senator Pete Kelly to discuss the budget and other issues with students in the ASUAF office. Next year, we will send a team of students to Juneau to lobby in person alongside representatives from student governments across the state. When the Board of Regents meets in Fairbanks this week, we will have an excellent opportunity to advocate for students and express the issues we feel strongly about. We expect two common themes to be brought up especially often. Number one, Title IX issues. As almost everyone is aware, Title IX issues and campus safety have taken on a special precedence this year at UAF. We strongly support this move and applaud the university's vigorous efforts to make campus a safer place. However, much more work needs to be done. Number two, academic programs. As UAF continues to review academic programs, it is important that we as students express our desires and priorities. A frequent topic of discussion at ASUAF is what we perceive as a worrying trend toward prioritizing workforce development and more practical programs over the arts and humanities. Although the pressure of the budget crisis is undeniable, we direly need programs such as philosophy that enrich our experiences and provide the social underpinnings for other areas of study. These programs create a value for the university that is difficult to find elsewhere, making us stronger as a whole. In the past, ASUAF has encouraged administration to cut programs horizontally, reducing the scale of several programs rather than eliminating or suspending a few. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Leslie. The next we go for UNAC, Chris Kaufman, please.
Hi. So you all should have received a message this morning from United Academics President Abel Bolt-Ito. United Academics will be carefully watching the program review process as it unfolds. We also encourage you to provide testimony to the Board of Regents, and I thank both DEPU and Mike for your excellent guidance about how to do that effectively. Finally, United Academics is beginning to prepare for the next round of contract negotiations. Our current collective bargaining agreement expires in December 2016, so we're starting the process of putting together a negotiation team. We're also offering a training on our current collective bargaining agreement this afternoon at 3:30 in the kayak room. There's also a call-in option, and you should have received an email from me earlier last week with those details. I'd be happy to provide them to you during one of the breaks if you'd like as well. And I do encourage you to take part in the training. I'll also have a recording of the training available afterwards for those who have a conflict and are unable to make it.
Any questions for Chris? Okay, let's move on. UAFT, Jane?
Nothing for UAFT, but I'd like to report for the Joint Healthcare Committee. I just want to remind everybody, especially in this time of budget woes, that you can get your 2016 wellness incentive at $600 for yourself and your spouse or FIP. So don't forget to do that by April 30th. Thank you.
April 30th, 2016. Yeah, thank you. Any questions for Jane? Oh, okay. Ken?
Pretty recently, Andrew Cox has put a letter in the paper. Everyone should probably have seen it. The crux of that one is coming down to that they're backing out of, you're familiar with that, right? They're backing out of being a preferred provider. The real issue in that one is that they're going to cap costs at 125% of Medicare, correct? University picks up 80%, so they basically pick up Medicare component, we pick up the rest of it. The costs that are above the what they consider usual and customary will be picked up totally by the individual faculty or staff here. Now, the key thing about that is that any costs above that 20% copay don't add into our out-of-pocket, right? And so what essentially we're getting into is a case where we have insurance and we've been driven to the high deductible plans on the belief that basically we cover small things, but catastrophic illnesses will be covered. And essentially what happens here when they back out and we don't have anyone here locally to do it, and we have to pick up anything above what's that 125% of Medicare ourselves and it doesn't add to our out-of-pocket, we basically are uninsured on that part. And for a lot of people, if someone gets cancer, it's going to basically put them into bankruptcy. And to me, it's totally unethical how the combination of the university and the care providers here have gotten us into a situation where under the guise of insurance, we have cases where someone's going to be coming down with cancer and facing the possibility, not only are they fighting for their life, but they're fighting for the financial viability of their family. What's being done about that?
Well, the Joint Healthcare Committee is, all we're doing at this point is discussing what we can do, and statewide is talking to the Cancer Care Center, and at this point, I don't know anything. We haven't been told anything.
So Chancellor Powers wants to respond to you.
Okay.
Thanks. Over the years, having been actively involved in these very, very issues, and just speaking off the hip, I would really suggest a letter both to Primera and to the Cancer Center to work together. This has happened a number of times, and we're always able to negotiate and get both parties back to the table. To have an ad in the newspaper like that is an extreme step in my view. So they may be particularly dug in, but both very reasonable parties, and we were always able to achieve something in the past. Hospital got involved with a provider and an insurer. I would encourage that level of collaboration because Fairbanks needs that service, and I agree entirely. It really puts the patient at risk.
So, Chancellor, are you saying a letter from the Joint Healthcare Committee?
I think so, and I would send it. You know, maybe get some signatures on it and get it both to the Cancer Center, to the Coxes, great people, and to Primera. It'll turn some heads.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You had any further comments, Ken?
I believe this also is the case with ear, nose, and throat specialists in Fairbanks, where no one's preferred a provider, and you know, the thing with cancer is the extreme cost associated with it, but I believe this might be appropriate to take up with respect to all areas like the ear, nose, and throat also that face that similar situation or don't get the same visibility.
Okay, in the interest of time, let's move on. UNED, Katie.
Okay, hi. UNED had an executive board meeting on November 20th in Anchorage, and we had planned to have an availability of parties meeting. We had that scheduled with a couple UAF administrators, but they weren't able to make it. That was disappointing, but we hope to have it rescheduled. One event the e-board is currently working on planning is an adjunct social at a venue near UAF. What we want to do is try and foster a stronger sense of community among adjuncts and allow people from different departments to get to know each other better. And I spoke with a few adjuncts before coming to this meeting today just to see how they're feeling about different things at the moment. And some of the comments that I received, a couple adjuncts were a little upset that they were never given an update as to what actions were taken about the pay issue that occurred earlier in the semester with CLA. They were interested in how did this happen and how do we know that it won't happen again in the future. And then another issue that came up was the issue of contracts and adjuncts wanting contracts before the semester starts, which of course is coming up for this spring. So really that's all that I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Any questions or comments? Okay. Athletics, Danny, for the first time, yay.
Thank you very much for letting me speak today. I apologize that this is the first time you've seen me this semester with timing. The meetings this year just don't coordinate with my class schedule, but I wanted to introduce myself. I'm Danny Shepherd. I am the faculty athletics representative on campus. I'm not a representative of athletics. I am a faculty member that serves as a liaison between athletics and academics. It's an NCAA mandated position, so every member institution has one, and I have a nationwide network of FARs from other institutions that we work together on larger academic issues, maintaining academic integrity in the athletics program, looking out for student athlete well-being, and overseeing institutional control of the athletics department. And so that is my mandate, very simple that it is, as the faculty athletic rep. But I do want to make sure that you all are aware that I am here for you as a resource. I take issues from Faculty Senate and from faculty members to the athletics department. I help work with them and how to solve them, how to find some resolution to some of those. I also work very closely with student athletes on increasing responsibility of how to be a student in the light of being an athlete and how to work with their classes, how to manage their travel schedules and maintain their academics. So I do work closely with those, but I do appeal to you all to please contact me. Let me know if there are particular issues, if there are certain patterns arising that I can take to the athletics department or that I can become involved in overseeing. So please do let me know that. In terms of things that are going on in athletics, certainly the big discussion in their department is budget, very much an issue in trying to determine how to move forward in this environment. Three of the seven sports are done for the year. The fall sports are done. The winter sports are in full swing. We have no spring sports at UAF. We're the only NCAA school that has a waiver for that. But our other sports are in full swing right now. We have a lot of successes. We've had some major record-breaking performances this year that's been very exciting. And when you look at each of the individuals that have broken records, they are also our highest performers in the classroom. So it's really nice to see the transfer of excellence in various forms of their lives. So it's pretty exciting. The GPA of the athletics department overall last year was a 3.2. And last year, again, reported another year where every single team had an average GPA above 3.0. So lots of good things that are happening down there. Debu and Jane both have contact information for me. So if any of you need to get hold of me, I'm happy to receive any comments or initiatives. Questions?
Any questions for Danny? Okay, thank you, Danny. That was an excellent report. Now we have some time because we don't have the guest speaker today, and I would like to expand this discussion. So let's move on to new business before we stop. And the process we want to follow is somebody is going to introduce the motion, then we'll go for the actual motion and second, and then we'll discuss. So with that, let's start with the first one, which is motion to amend the academic probation policy. And I would request Jen to introduce it, please?
I'm good. So this one here is to change our probation policy in a couple of different ways. One, it adds a warning semester. So, and this puts us in line with, I believe, UAA and UAS as well. They have a warning that students get the first semester that this happens for them. It also takes care of the problem with, for example, a summer session student who you know, has been doing fine, and then they take a 3-credit class in the summer, they get a C minus, and all of a sudden, you know, they've hit the 2.0. This now changes it so that it says students whose semester and cumulative GPA falls below 2.0 after any semester, so that it maintains the accountability, but it keeps them from having that one semester that creates a problem. And then down below on academic disqualification, it changes and just puts 2 consecutive semesters, so the now summer is included in that as well.
Okay.
Questions?
Well, we'll get into the questions and discussion. Sorry. So let me entertain a motion. Any seconds?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Discussions. Now, anything you want to ask or comment on this one?
Can I speak?
Yes, please.
This one's an interesting change, because what it effectively means is that students will not go on probation as readily as they do currently. Currently, all you have to do is get below a 2.0 any regular semester, and you're on probation. What this will change to be is that your cumulative GPA has to fall below 2.0 as well. The warning business is simply an advisory. It's not going to limit what they can do. It's simply a sort of, hey, there's something going wrong here. It'll be more difficult to get onto probation, but it'll apply more fairly. So it's going to happen any semester, regardless when your GPA falls below 2. And again, the same kind of rules are going to apply for being disqualified. Namely, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about the summer or the spring or the fall. Any semester where you've done this twice in a row, going to be out. So some of the potential unintended consequences might be that a student doesn't really go on to probation until, frankly, they're in real serious academic problems. So it would happen later, but they'll be getting potentially a warning instead. Again, this is going to put us more in line with the other two schools, but it also means that basically once a person goes on probation, instead of as currently where it's kind of, well, this isn't good, but it's not the end of the world. Frankly, it is the end of the world. And we'll have to, as advisors, recognize that subtle distinction if we approve this in terms of what it means with regards to somebody going on probation.
Thank you, Rainer, for that explanation. Any questions, comments? Any other questions, comments? Okay, you are all convinced that this is going to work, right? Should we take a vote? All right, so any objections to this motion going forward? None. Okay, thank you.
Online folks?
Oh, yes. Any objections from the online folks? No. All right, thank you. This motion is passed, and we are at a time where we need to take a break, 8 minutes break. We should be back at 2. Thank you. Thank you. May I request the senators to please take their seats? We'll start with the second half of the Senate meeting and hope all of you are refreshed at this point. Thank you. So may I have your attention, please? Let's start with the second bit of the new business, which is motion to amend minor option to the BA degree. And I will again request Jen to introduce it for us, please.
All right, is it on? I think it is. Okay, so this one just removes the foreign language, Alaska Native Language, American Sign Language option from the minor complex. So it only leaves the minor complex as an option. This has been approved by all of those foreign language, all of those departments. Basically, when the foreign language option, I'll just use that as the shorthand, was implemented, we didn't have minors in these areas. We now have minors, defined minors in these areas. The foreign language option allowed students to essentially make that meet that requirement with 12 credits, which is 3 credits less than the 15 credits of a minor. And so we thought that needed to be removed so that they just have the minor option. And then again, they can get minors in these areas. So.
Okay, thank you, Jen. I don't see, this is effective fall 2016, so we have time. A motion.
So moved.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Any discussion, questions, comments? More explanations? No, okay. All right, so any objections for this motion to move forward? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Item C, we have a motion to approve discontinuation of the Masters of Electrical Engineering degree program and submitted by GAC, and I will request Donnie to introduce it, please.
Yeah, this is basically a housekeeping measure. So as part of the special academic program review, it was recommended that the Master of Electrical Engineering, which is a course master's only, be consolidated with the Master of Science in Electrical Engineering. And this consolidation is in line with a lot of other engineering programs that have both course-based, thesis-based, and project-based masters with slightly different requirements for each one of them. So, but it doesn't save any money because the students in the Master of Electrical Engineering and the Master of Science in Electrical Engineering share all the same coursework anyway. But it does mean that there's one program less that the Board of Regents has to look at. So in order to make this happen, the consolidation has already been approved by the provost. So this deletion is just basically a housekeeping measure to get the old program off the books. So it's not controversial.
Thank you, Donnie. Motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second? Okay, thank you. Any discussions? From the Zoom folks? None. Okay, any objections for this motion to carry forward? Hearing none, motion is approved. The next one, item D, is a motion to approve Faculty Senate Committee bylaw changes. And I'm going to introduce this one because I took the burden of introducing this one. So if you go to 211.4 attachment, which is on page 7, All I want you to really focus on, because this has this in entirety has gone through each of the committees that you serve on. So You should be well aware of what is in there and what is not, what has been removed. But all I want you to focus on is items A through H in the beginning. The rest are your committee specific, and you have already approved individually on each committee. So basically, a few changes have been made in order to bring the common aspects to the front of each committee. As an example, I would say, on standing committees, all voting members must be senators or alternates, etc., etc. So that's item D. We have added a few things, that a quorum consists of at least 50% of the voting members, as item F, and mode of attendance is committee specific. So basically, these are common aspects that have been brought forward. And I would like you to really focus on that and not on the specifics of each committee, unless you have something to discuss about it. So with that explanation, I hope that's sufficient. I can open up for discussion later. Let me entertain a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussions at this point? Either you speak up or hold your peace forever.
So I know you said to stick with the beginning section. I just have a question about the permanent committee.
Your mic is not turned on. No.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I know you said to stay within the first sections, but my question specifically is within the permanent committee, item one. Basically, the wording, the graduate academic and advisory committee includes 10 faculty members and up to 2 graduate students. The dean of the graduate school, director of the library, and the university registrar are non-voting members. They struck out the 2 graduate students as non-voting members, basically allowing student votes within the permanent committee. And I did give John a call, and he is advising against that. He doesn't think that it's going to be a good idea to allow students to be voting, as it could be a conflict of interest. So that's my discussion. Question.
Yes, Donnie?
I'll speak to that as the chair of the Graduate and Academic Advisory Committee. We did discuss this issue within our committee. We've had 4 graduate students over the time that I've been a chair of the committee. They've all been really conscientious. They do everything that the faculty members do. There are people that feel, I shall say, you know, sort of fundamentally concerned about a conflict of interest. We've never had a conflict of interest situation on the committee with the students, and the majority of the committee felt that the students are doing the work that the faculty are doing, that they are our colleagues in the future, that enabling them to vote on the items that they have put the work into as a way of acknowledging their contribution, and it makes them feel like a regular member of the committee. And so the majority of the committee was in favor of this change. So that's not to say that every person might be in favor of it, but a majority of the committee voted for it. And honestly, we've never had an issue like that where we felt like there was a severe conflict of interest with the students. Furthermore, there's only 2 students. So, you know, by themselves, they cannot possibly sway the output of the committee all that much.
And it's find it interesting that the dean of the graduate school would be appointing the student representatives, but he advises against them voting.
Well, I did talk to him this morning, and he said after we discussed it that as long as we thought we had considered this, he was okay with it.
So just to ensure that we are, we don't have much concern on this. When I was a PhD student, I was on the graduate advisory committee in Minnesota, and I was a voting member. So, you know.
And since then, the school has gone to hell in a handbasket.
I'm sorry? What did you say?
Nothing.
Okay, Ken.
I'll speak on that one then, too. there are potential conflicts of interest. You oftentimes will have students in the courses of other faculty members on that committee. That will be normal. And the conflict that would inherently create, where a committee member has 1 or 2 of their own students on it, and the conflicts between the superior subordinate are inherent. I've been looking at it from the standpoint of an accountant. the independence, in fact, in appearance is critical. We have other students on committees also, and they are always non-voting. And just the concept of having students have a voting influence, a voting control over what the committees are, I don't think it's wise. I think it's that's what faculty governance is about, and getting the student input. I was chair of GAC when this first was created about 5 years ago. We didn't have any student members, and at that time we started a process to put student members on there as a as non-voting members, and it's great to have student input. I would be opposed to having students actually vote. And when you look at there are only two, well, a quorum is five, and so two out of five could end up being 40% vote when you have lack of attendance.
Donnie, is it true that students have effectively been voting on this committee now for several years?
Yes, in effect. I mean, they don't, we haven't, on the issue of their voting, they didn't vote. But they, in effect, they offer recommendations on courses. They give their opinion, and when we listen to what they say. And so, you know, and most of what passes through GAC honestly passes by consensus. So it's not as if there's really a situation where the students are, you know, sort of standing up for something for graduate students that the faculty members object to. We did discuss conflict of interest, and actually in the original version of the bylaws, we had a sentence saying that in case of a conflict of interest, the affected party would recuse themselves. And that actually got moved to the general part of the bylaws, and then it got dropped. But that's in effect what we do anyway. So if and the students have been really good about saying, like, oh, you know, if this is an issue that seems like it affects me, well, I'll just stay out of it. So honestly, I mean, we have not had any problem with our students. The dean of the school has been really good at appointing very enthusiastic and appropriate students so far, and it's been very positive. And as I said, the majority of the committee felt like we should give them the vote. So
you're saying that we're not really innovating anything with this change in the bylaws. We're simply legitimatizing it. Is that correct?
Well, yes, I guess so. I mean, we haven't had many formal votes, but in effect, yes.
Thank you. Well, favor of, I would like to make a statement in favor of including them is that we actually teach our students, we actually educate our students, really, and we teach them ethics, and we want to them to apply that, right? I mean, if we are going to suspect that as a member of the committee, then we are doing a disservice to our students, really. Okay. If there is a conflict of interest, they should step out. You know, that's what they should do, in my opinion. Anybody. I'm not talking about students only, even the faculty.
Well, actually, I think one of the problems, I mean, I understand what the sentiment, thank you, of the motion is. However, this is sort of a set of rules. And so in 5 years, you could have a totally different makeup of committee, a totally different set of graduate students, totally different issues. And then how you deal with this is not, you don't have any way to deal with this in the rules. So relying on the good faith of what's happening now to perpetuate in the future, it's just not a good plan.
So you have a comment? Yes, Donnie.
Well, I guess I just would say that I don't think that the students that we have who've been really good are like the few out of the students that, you know, that in the future we're going to have horrible students, that these are just like the white sheep students against the mask of black sheep students. So, I mean, I think that the committee felt that this was a very reasonable situation, that students are contributing a lot on the committee. They are our future colleagues. Like Debbie said, it's not surprising students vote in place in other places, and GAC felt like we wanted to have our students vote. So, you know, I mean, I realize not everybody necessarily would have that view, but our committee felt like that was the appropriate thing to do.
Thank you, Donnie. Any other comments, questions? Yes, Ken?
I'll make a comment on a different topic. the admin committees is critical to this whole faculty senate, and it's is probably the most important committee there is. So the admin committee will consider motions brought forth by every other committee. Will make decisions as to whether they go forward or they go back to the committees. The admin committee can bring up topics that are discussed and then not even forward to the Faculty Senate. The admin committee can create motions and put them to Faculty Senate. But the admin committee is the one committee that does not produce faculty, produce committee minutes. And until I served on the admin committee, I did not understand how important the admin committee was. I would like to make a motion that would read a new item 11 on page number 8 underneath admin committee responsibilities. I would like to make a motion that would state the committee chair will provide committee minutes to the Faculty Senate.
Okay, so that's an amendment. This is under 8, item 8, or what did you say?
The new item 11 on page 8, under A11. Okay. So that all faculty members could have an understanding of what goes on at the admin committee meetings.
Anyone, any seconds before we get into a discussion on the amendment? Okay. So, any discussions on this amendment? Okay, I have some point to make. Although I agree that this will open up the process, however, there are things that are discussed there that that are more open than what we want to bring to the Senate. Okay. I'm saying this very carefully. So while I like open processes, but there are certain things that it's not a good idea to bring it to the Senate. Let me put it. I mean, there are things that comments made or something that should not come to the Senate. Okay. I mean, this is a closed room that where we talk freely. I don't know. I mean, I'm okay if that comes up, but my observation over the last year and a half now is that we kind of discuss a few things there that's not ready for the Senate, really, okay? And anything that filters through comes to the Senate, and we discuss it very openly. So that's all I have to comment here. Yeah, Donnie.
I would just comment that, you know, every committee that produces minutes, it's not a blow-by-blow of everything that was said during the meeting. There's a summary process that goes on. And so I understand your concern, Debbie, but I think you could probably summarize what the actions of the administrative committee were without revealing every single thing that was discussed and who said what. I mean, it's not a transcript of the speech. It's a summary of what actually got done.
Fair enough, yeah. Elizabeth, you had a comment?
I don't know, I think she basically said what I wanted to say, but I actually had to speak very strongly. I think it's an incredibly excellent idea, because since I've been on Faculty Senate, I've really begun to understand that very important things go on in the ADCOM meeting, and I, in general, do not know what takes place there.
So could you please spell out the amendment exactly as you want?
What I had written was number 11, the committee chair will provide committee meeting minutes to the Faculty Senate. It's implied for each meeting, yeah.
Perhaps to address the issue that not all details are to be shared, you can say as a summary.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, minutes are minutes. They vary from committee to committee in their detail.
Okay, so, okay, thank you. Thank you all. Any other discussion on the amendment that the committee chair will provide committee minutes to the Faculty Senate? That's the only amendment I see at this point. Any other comments, discussion? If not,
Well, I still am not resolved, I think, with the GAC committee and adding the students, because I literally just talked to the dean, John, like at 12:30, right before this meeting, and he was very adamant about not thinking it was a good idea. And I know you said you talked to him this morning, but, you know, so I've been, like, kind of mulling over this. I think if we could maybe do, like, a poll vote, straw vote to see what, I don't know, you know, the next steps would be, but... this would open up other permanent committees to allow grad students to vote, and I thought that the permanent committees were supposed to be faculty voting. So
you are welcome to take a straw vote at this point. Yeah.
So I guess,
one thing at a time.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure the Robert's Rules way to do this would be: we have an amendment on the floor. Let's vote on that amendment, and then we can, and then propose this as an amendment.
Okay. So let's vote on the first amendment, which is. The committee chair will provide committee meeting minutes to the faculty senate. Any objections to that? Please raise your hand. One. Anybody on the Zoom who has an objection? Okay, that amendment passes. The next one is Ken.
I would make a motion that. The graduate students, a friendly amendment that the motion be revised to strike or to eliminate the deletion on two student members. In effect, maintaining the fact that like staff, like administrators, students are not voting members on the Graduate Academic Advisory Committee.
Okay, so if I understand it clearly, You are modifying permanent committee number one, the graduate, and the way it should read is the graduate academic and advisory committee has responsibility for oversight, et cetera, et cetera. And the second paragraph should read the graduate academic and advisory committee includes 10 faculty members and strike out and up to two graduate students.
Yes. The only thing would be to strike out the deletion of
and revive that back.
Right. And by striking out those four words, it would maintain. The current existing rules that state that like the university registrar, like the director of the library, like the dean of graduates, and any other ex officio, they cannot vote. But they will be there participating as ex officio members.
Okay, so there is a motion. Any seconds?
A second.
Okay. Any discussion at this point? Go ahead, Donnie.
I would like to speak against this amendment. I would just point out that the members of the committee feel that this is the way to run the committee, and every other committee got to set their own bylaws. And so I understand that some people have a philosophical objection, but it seems as if really, you know, the committee's been functioning just fine like this, and it's really a vote of confidence in our students who will be our colleagues. You're not going in and tinkering with the bylaws of every other committee. So I would urge faculty senators to respect the wishes of the Graduate Academic Committee and vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
So I'd also recommend voting no. I feel like this is the exact analog of the chancellor putting faculty into chancellor's cabinet, that we get a seat at the table and we get to help make decisions that affect all of us, and that's shared governance. So I feel like including students is a great step in the same direction for students.
Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I want to speak in support of Donnie and Orion. I'm against this amendment and would say it's not a friendly amendment, actually, since the committee wants the graduate students to be able to vote, and if graduate students have been voting, then this is definitely not a friendly amendment. I plan to vote against the amendment. I think the grad students are very thoughtful people. They're on hiring committees for new faculty. They get to vote on those committees. I got to do that twice myself as a graduate student. I didn't try to lead an insurrection or anything like that. I thought it was very important to have that voice for the department. You know, I took it very seriously as a grad student for future grad students and so on. And I think it's very important that they learn this process as a shared governance process. So I vote against no. I vote no. I will vote no for them on the amendment.
Yeah, Ken.
Okay, a few points there. For one, they have not been voting. They've been participating like any other ex officio member has. Second point, I believe in Chancellor Powers appointed the faculty to the Chancellor's Cabinet as ex officio members. I do not believe the faculty get to vote on that committee. It's a it will be as in ex officio status, non-voting. And another point is that, Donnie, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was a split vote. It was not a unanimous vote, and there were people that felt strongly opposed to that at the same time.
The vote was 5 in favor, 2 opposed. So there was a small minority opposed, but it was a majority vote, carried the day.
Okay, any other comments? Yeah, go ahead, Franz.
My objection to the amendment has less to do with students, but more with process. It's my point of view that the committee made this their bylaws, and they voted on the bylaws. And if that's the way the committee wants to run its committee, then so be it. Who am I to dictate how they run their committee? So it was voted on, it was approved. If they want to change it next month, they can bring it forward to the Senate again, and we can vote on it again. So for me, this decision was not made here. This was a decision made in the committee.
Thank you, Franz. Any other comments? Okay, let's vote on this amendment right now. And the amendment is a striking of the highlighted italics and up to 2 graduate students in the first sentence of the second paragraph, and non-striking and 2 graduate students in the second sentence of the paragraph. Okay, I would like to go with a hand vote at this point. All in favor, please raise your hand. And those in Zoom, please send an email to Jane. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And anyone in Zoom will count you guys also. All against this motion, please raise your hand. Okay, that's overwhelming. Okay. Motion fails. The amendment fails. All right, back to our original discussion of the motion with the amendment number item 11 on page 8 passed. That's the committee chair will provide committee meeting minutes to the faculty senate. That is passed, so that's an amendment. Any other discussion? Okay, let's vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. Okay, that motion passed. Now we have new bylaws, modified bylaws. Thank you. Thank you for all the discussion and participation on this one. The next item is the resolution on RISE sustainability fee submitted by the Faculty Affairs Committee. Chris, could you please introduce the resolution?
Yeah, this is pretty quick. So this is all this resolution says is that the Faculty Senate encourages faculty to join with the students and voluntarily contribute or donate $40 per year to UAF for the purpose of sustainability efforts as managed by the RISE Board. A similar resolution of support is already passed by staff council. And again, just emphasize this is voluntary. You'd have to cut a check or put money in a tip jar somewhere, which will be determined by the RISE Board.
Thank you. A motion let me entertain a motion, please.
Second.
Thank you. All right, any discussion on this one? Any comments?
Anybody else feel weird about this one? Like opposing it is it tantamount to endorsing beating baby seals?
I second that, yeah. Why are we... I guess the question is why are we having a resolution on this particular topic when there are lots of student-led initiatives that we don't always do this sort of resolution for?
The RISE board was... The RISE board came here and encouraged us to do this. They largely wrote the resolution, so without taking away from their efforts, I'd say that the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Yeah, go ahead.
I do foresee approving this resolution as potentially opening the door for other student organizations to do the same thing. As part of the 4-H program, I will be the next on board to bring a resolution that you all donate to 4-H. Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
I think it's great. I think it's great when students are involved in the faculty self-governance process, actually.
My thoughts on this will be that if we get more and more such requests, we have to come up with a process for that. But this one was a starting point, and we just thought we'll support this, you know.
Well, we were afraid to oppose it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah.
And I think we have another committee that works as well.
Which committee?
For these new groups that are going to be bringing proposals through.
Okay.
Someone's going to have to review them.
Yeah.
The process.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
What I think I'm hearing is that it's one thing to support this. It's another thing to tell faculty who they ought to be contributing to. They're two different things. And I would think if they'd be decoupled, you'd have a lot of different views on it.
As far as I know, this is not asking any faculty to contribute anything.
It's no, that is. The resolution is saying, we support the recommend that the faculty make a voluntary contribution. And so I think a lot of us people are saying it's not our place to tell faculty where to contribute. It's our place to either support or not support things, but not to tell faculty where to contribute.
But it says recommend, right? I mean, we're recommending. We're not forcing anybody.
That's what I'm saying. It's not making faculty contribute, but it's not faculty senate point or purpose to tell faculty where they should contribute. It's our purpose to either support or oppose issues, not to tell faculty what they ought to do with their personal money.
Okay. Chris, you have a point? Yeah, go ahead.
On faculty affairs, and the original proposal actually asked us to have a payroll deduction.
So you're saying that this is less awful?
To which I have to admit that my rather strong personality came out vehemently opposed. So here's what I think we should just go with. I mean, I agree with what people are saying. We're being pushed into a corner as to perhaps being asked to donate money, but I would say, let's just go ahead with this now, and if it becomes a problem and all the groups start coming to us and asking, you know, for us to pass more resolutions, then we deal with it at that time.
And I think, why can't we just have a resolution in support of their efforts and not say anything about donations? You say it's a great program, and we support your efforts, and we will support your...
So I'll let others address that. I don't know.
I mean,
I
why
guess,
have to even have asked
to us directly, so that their request was
sufficient. That doesn't mean every time somebody asks you for something, you don't have to say yes.
Make a motion.
I move to change the resolution to not mention anything about money or donations. Just say we support your efforts.
Let me recommend you something. Why don't you move to table this so that the committee can go back and do it again? Because we cannot tinker with language in here, right? I mean, we don't have the time. Okay, so unless you have some specific sentence to strike.
Okay.
Or you can, well, that's a voting, yeah.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Is there any mechanism for, I mean, I think what the students are getting at is that they want the faculty to be involved in this. And is there a mechanism by which faculty can be involved in that right now? That's my question.
Okay, so let me address
this,
that.
Is this creating the mechanism to donate?
No, no, really not. And I will address that one because I had a communication with them before it went back to the committee again. And my proposal was exactly identical with what Kathy is proposing, is that let's remove anything about the fee and other or the donation and other stuff from there, and just say that the faculty is going to support this this resolution. To which it was a very emotional, email back saying, "No, no, we have developed this, and we want the faculty to really consider this." That was the premise by which I then forwarded it to Chris. And they have looked into the resolution. They have come up with they must have some discussion about it, which are on the report, and they came up with saying that let's support this resolution. Now we can reject it at this point. We can accept it, or we can go with a motion that Kathy is proposing. I don't know exactly what it is. If you can propose what exactly, then we can go forward with the motion.
UAF Faculty Senate, I don't know, I haven't really, I mean, just to change language to say that we support the efforts by these students, and I'd have to look at it a little bit on more detail.
So the provost had a comment.
Provost has something to say.
Sorry, provost, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'd like to just point out that this organization is different from student organizations in general. It administers a fee that the students voted to impose upon themselves several years ago. So each student is being charged a sustainability fee of $20 a semester, I believe it is. Yep. And so there are not many organizations of that sort about. They are also overseeing the expenditure of that money for various projects that benefit the whole campus. The fondly called Clown Bus, for example, was a RISE project. There have been a number of other energy saving initiatives. So you can, you know, vote against it or vote for it as you like. But I think that the concern that this is going to open the floodgates to a number of similar requests is perhaps not as large as you might expect, because it really is a different sort of arrangement.
Thank you, Provost Hendricks.
Yes. Just perhaps a little bit for context. I mean, the students are obviously, in a way, frustrated with the faculty not really doing anything about sustainability. So if you pay $5 or say we support you in general, that doesn't really cut it. And so we should really think about how are we presenting ourselves on this whole notion, and what are we really doing as a faculty when it comes to sustainability questions, to carbon, to climate change, and all these things. And so the reason why I bring it up is, A, there's a student expectation that we do better than the students. And B, it's a recruiting issue for us as well, because if we are a faculty that can show we do all these good things, we will attract more students. I feel historically it has not been the case. And so it's not just, hey, I give you $5 or $3 or no dollars, and we support you, fine, go ahead. It's about how we as a faculty, as an entity, as a university, as teachers, as scientists, as leaders, are presenting ourselves on that issue. And that, I think, is a core topic here. Really. Thank
you. Okay, thank you. Yes, go ahead, please.
I would like to concur with, or agree, absolutely agree. RISE is an amazing organization. I have collaborated with them. GreenMex has come out and helped me teach 50 kids during the summertime how to take care of their bike, how to fix their bikes, fixed their bikes, also greased them all and got ready to go. I think that my challenge is while I fully support this organization, I don't feel that it's necessary that it is stated that we have at least a $40 faculty designated donation that's voluntary. I think that in general, supporting them is having an actual resolution passed by faculty senate does carry a lot of weight.
Okay.
Really?
I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think it's actually kind of amusing that students think that this body is so influential. If we recommend to the faculty, by God, the coffers will just start overflowing. It's really kind of a scary thought.
Okay. All right, so I haven't heard an amendment yet. So basically, we're still on the resolution. Yes, go ahead, Elizabeth.
I guess I'd like to, us to see us vote on this motion. So I never know how to do this. Do I make a motion? What's the word? I call a question?
Okay, okay, there is a call to question. All right. So let's vote.
Voted on whether to vote.
I'm sorry?
We're voting on whether to vote.
Okay. We are voting on whether to vote. That's correct. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor, please raise your hand.
So what is
voting?
What are we voting on?
Oh, okay. We are voting whether we should vote on this resolution or not.
Cut off discussion and vote.
Right. Come out of discussion and vote. So that's what we are voting on, whether we should go ahead and vote or not. So all in favor, please raise your hand that we are going to vote. Okay, all opposed, please raise your hand. Okay, and Zoom, anyone opposed? I'm hearing none. Okay, so eyes carry. So now we should vote on the resolution. All right. Let's do it by show of hands, okay? All in favor of the resolution being moving forward, please raise your hands. All in favor of the resolution moving forward, please raise your hand. No, there is no modification. Okay. So did you count? Please show your hands. Yeah. Okay. Anyone in Zoom in favor, please send your email or just say aye from there, please.
Aye. Bill Barnes, aye.
One more. All right. All opposed, please raise your hands. Anyone online opposed? Please say no.
Well, I think we'll both be accused of public baby seals.
I'm opposed.
Julie. Okay, so it's 12 ayes and 15 nays, so the resolution doesn't pass. Oh, any abstentions? I'm sorry. Any abstentions? Please raise your hand. One, two. Any on the Zoom? I mean, those who didn't say abstain. Okay, so. So five, one, two, three, four, five abstentions. Thank you. Okay, now it's public comment time. Any public comments at this point? Okay, I see none. Now I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to ask each of the, so this is a member comment time. Any general comments or announcements from members? All right, none. Let me request each committee chair just to highlight one thing that they're working on. That way we all are aware of, following Ken's request, we're all aware of what's going forward. So curricular affairs, just one major thing that you're working on.
The thing that we're working on?
Yep.
Buckets.
Oh, the buckets, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Faculty affairs?
This RISE thing, and then the overload rates, which we passed on.
Okay. Unit criteria, is Mara here?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, please. That way Zoom folks can hear you.
Yeah, It is on. The change in the online evaluations, what to do with that, criteria, because some unit criteria actually use metrics, so I just adjust
it. Thank you. Committee of Status of Women, Jane?
Sorry. We're working, one thing we're working on is family leave.
Family leave. Okay. Thanks. Code review, is Andy here?
Yep.
We are working on reviewing petitions and seeing how the bucket and O, the oral and written designation changes take place and how that affects our committee.
Thank you. Curriculum review, Reiner?
We're approving things like crazy.
Okay, Sara, Sandra, is...
The SADA committee has been reviewing new developmental level courses in writing and in developmental math and have approved at least 8. There's another one on the agenda for tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Faculty development, FDAI?
The two main things, one of them is monitoring the course evaluation system, the implementation. So if you have any comments, please forward them to us. The other thing is we start to look back into the mentoring program, faculty mentoring program, and it's, you know, how to make this work in a, in an environment like the one that we have right now with strained money and strained time, and how to ensure that the mentors and mentees are participating as much as they can.
Okay, thank you. Jack, Donnie?
We're approving lots of things, as Reiner said. We looked into deferred grades and whether that's a problem in graduate courses. It seems that it's not from the registrar's point of view. And finally, an issue that we're not exactly working on, but we want to bring it to your attention, is that there are probably going to be some big changes coming to graduate student health care in the next year. And we were hoping that Mike Castellini would come and speak today about the situation that the university finds itself in. But suffice it to say that things will be very different next year, and hopefully he'll come address us at a future meeting.
Can you be a little bit more specific about what we're looking at? I mean, we know there's a problem from the handouts.
Yeah, I mean, basically the problem is that the insurance costs too much, and the current plan that they have is called a corridor plan. So under that, the students have coverage, and then there's a gap, sort of like the Medicare donut hole, and then they get picked up again above a certain amount. That's actually not legal, so we can't do that anymore. Some of our peer institutions have taken the position that graduate students are not actually employees, and so they should have to buy their insurance on the exchange. And that's not legal if they're regarded as employees, but I think UAF's position is going to be that they're not actually employees, they're students. And I think a lot of whether UAF goes that way, then what one might do is to increase student stipends, but without saying that it's for insurance, right? But just in general to keep up with the cost of living, so to speak, because you can't, as an employer, you can't just say, here's some money, go buy your own health insurance. But it's possible, too, that with the Medicaid expansion, that it will actually become a lot better for graduate students if they purchase their insurance on the exchange. So I think we're waiting for some more information. But it is clear that there'll be a radical change in how health insurance is handled for graduate students in the next year. So hopefully Mike will brief us about that in a future meeting.
Yeah, thank you, Dolly. And Mike has actually apologized for not being able to show up today. Yeah, Rack, Jessica, please.
Yeah, so I've just returned from extensive travel. I need to organize our next meeting, but we will work with Mara's group on Blue Book revision. And then another issue that's come up this fall that I hope our committee can address is there have been some reorganizations and cuts to OGCA, which have made proposal submission much more painful. And in an era when we want to expand sponsored research, I don't think this is a very smart move. So I'm hoping that our group can find the attention of someone who may have oversight over those decisions, and we can provide some feedback on that.
Thank you. ITC, Julie is not available, I think, but Rorik? Oh, she is on Zoom.
Hi, yeah. Can you hear me?
ITC, Julie, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right, so we've been working with OIT on faculty engagement, and they have an person on their staff who's supposed to be working with faculty engagement, and we want to facilitate that process. So we're trying to work with her in within our faculty to support faculty and be proactive in what kinds of ways that we can be working with them to get the needs of faculty and something happening. So part of that is going to be talking with faculty, talking with with staff, possibly facilitating small working meetings. And also looking at what kinds of ways can we work with them to get some troubleshooting happening more effectively or more efficiently than what sometimes it's able to do.
Okay, thank you very much. Now I would request anybody, Provost, you have a comment or something? Nothing, okay. Anybody else, Alex? No. How about, no, Dean Lair? Okay, if there are no other comments, I would just wish all of you a happy holidays. I would like a motion for adjournment, please. Thank you very much. See you next year.
So, you guys...